Hey, we're talking about higher love. We went beyond this normal desire, right? To get back to normal, to get everything the way it is. I mean, I love it. There's cool things, being able to sing and school starting back up and all of that for so many people. Most people, hopefully Monroe kicks in. I mean, they did some voting and we'll see what happens. Those things are cool, and there's nothing necessarily bad about normal, but a lot of times we just cling to normal rather than Jesus, and Jesus is beyond normal. And so I want to ask you to know that when we're talking about things like higher love and beyond normal, and we're talking about even God's rules, it's for His glory that we live, that we breathe, that we even have our being. And so I want to encourage you with that. I also want to encourage you, and I think Ryan's out there, but he just got a new job, and we're so thankful to God. He provides in so many rad ways. Sometimes He provides in the wait, right? Not just providing during the wait, but with waiting. And so I want to encourage you to trust God in that. So we're talking about the character of God today, and I want to invite you to say, look, God isn't just a character, right? He actually made everything. He made it. He's not a character. He's got a character. And He reveals His character to us in Jesus, even in His laws and His creation. And so we're going to look at that. If you'll join me, let's go to Exodus 3, 13 through 17. I just want to get right to it. As you're turning to it and you're online turning to it, we're going to be looking at something that comes off of the burning bush, right? Like, God showed Himself to Moses. Last week I told you this quote from D.L. Moody. I'll just say it again. Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. And then he spent another 40 years learning he was a nobody. And then he learned in another 40 years, he discerned just how much God can do with a nobody. Because it's to the glory of God. And so Moses gets told by God through this burning bush, hey, I know my people are a mess. And I know that they need help. I've heard them. Go get them. And he's like, okay, do you have like a calling card or something? I mean, the burning bush wasn't enough. It was burning, but it didn't get consumed. He's like, can I tell them your name? And name isn't just like, can I dot the I's here? Can I have your credit card? You know what he's saying? He's saying, who are you? Your name reveals who you are. It's character being revealed. And so this is what God says. Well, let's go to what Moses says first. If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. It's kind of a weird name. Yahweh is what we've translated it to, right? Some people will say Jehovah, but Yahweh, right? Tell them I am who I am. Tell them I'm self-existent. Tell them it doesn't get any bigger than me. That's who sent you to set them free. And he says, say this to the people. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, the name he just gave, Yahweh, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Look, the same God of your daddies is coming to set you free. And that's who was sent. This is my name forever. And thus I'm to be remembered, there's that word again, remember, throughout all generations. How many generations? Like just the old people? Should they pass that on? How do we pass on the name of God? Tell our children. We demonstrate what it means to look like. I mean, get ready because this is really the message, okay? I mean, gosh, you can have a lot more to talk about. All right, so here we go. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I've observed you. I see you, Israel. I see you're a mess. I see you need help. I've observed you. and what's been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. If you remember back to the very beginning, the beyond normal, God's people suffered and wandered in the desert and they complained, and that was just in the first 3 days. And then they did it for 3 months. And then because they couldn't take God seriously and at his word and according to his name, they struggled for another 40 years. And yet God was with them all the way through because God's good. And so these words just jump off the page to me. God and his character is holy, living. He's a living God. He's personal. And he's faithful. That's the truth of who God is today. And so when we hear his rules and how he lays it out for people on how they're supposed to live, know that it comes off of his character. Know that it comes off of who he is and how he calls us to live isn't so we can get saved. Remember, he saved them before they followed the rules. Remember that you and I were saved by Jesus, if we've been saved, not because of good things we've done, but because of what he's done. And so with that, let's go to the third commandment. Will somebody, while we're turning to Exodus 20, verse 7, will somebody tell me what the first commandment is? Feel free, church. No other gods before me. You know what that means, right? It's what it says. Don't put anything before me. Not just ahead of me in line, that's a no-duh, but don't try to come to me with gods. Like, hey, I love you, God, Yahweh, you are that you are, you've always been, there's nobody else but you. But I did bring this God along with me, this idol along with me, which leads to the second one. God's saying, don't do that. What's the second commandment? What do you remember? That's coming up. That's good. That's the third one. Good job. No, it's good. I see you jumping ahead. I love it. What's the second commandment? It's like the first one. Not quite. I love it. You're giving my whole message already. Good job, Alice. No, you're not. Hey, you're good. You're in it. Second one. Know what? No idols. Now, we think of idols like just like the little carved images or maybe these big things, and those truly are it. But yeah, Amy's holding up her phone. Anybody have that as an idol? They're like, if I say yes, my parents will take it from me. Or my wife or my husband. Look, that's real. Like, there's things that are idols. There are people that are idols. And God's saying, look, I am God. Nobody else before me. Don't make any idols. Don't worship them. They're not me. And then we go to the third one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Look, in vain. There's so much to that. And this passage is so common and so commonly spoken. And we know that, okay, don't take his name in vain. And we're going to talk in a second about what that looks like. But most of us are like, yeah, just don't cuss using God's name. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good start. This week, I was just kind of looking for something fresh, something new, maybe a different translation. I went to a paraphrase instead. I believe that the message is a really, really cool paraphrase. I do believe that the man, Eugene Peterson, God rest his soul, he's with Jesus right now. I believe that he translated this amazing text, these Hebrew and Greek and Latin. He knew some stuff. He even knew a little bit of Aramaic. And I believe that he looked at it, and in his mind, he could actually look at it and then write it down in some common English. I don't rest on it being a translation. I'm saying this for the people that got mad at me last time when I called it a translation. I don't think that it is. I think it's a sweet paraphrase. It's like a commentary. And so, let's look at this. Exodus 20, verse 7, in the paraphrase, the message. No using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banter. Don't just throw his name out there, right? God won't put up with the irreverent use of his name. We go back to the character of God. Look, who should I tell him sent me? I am. My name's a big deal. I'm going to do all these things for you. I promise. We say we promise, and it's at best 50-50. But God says he promises, and he does it. And he said, don't use my name in vain. Don't use it lightly. Don't use it in just chatting. And so rather than me go on and on about that, let me ask you, what are some ways that we use God's name in vain?
Getting angry.
Getting angry, so just throwing out his name. So we'll say, like, God, and then some people think his last name is Damn, and it's not. So in that those kind of ways, right? Is that what we're kind of talking about? All right, so just saying Jesus. By the way, I coached for lots and lots of years, and there was a young man on the sideline that was like, he said, Jesus Christ, about a play that happened. And I'm like, hold on, bro, are you praying? And he goes, no, coach, this isn't church. I'm like, oh, I know. I said, I'm a pastor, and you say Jesus more than I do. I'm like, why? He goes, I'm going to go talk to Sif, who, by the way, goes to my church. Right? I said, okay, we can talk to Sif. Better yet, why don't we just go right up to Mr. Chaplick and talk to him? Because I've told you that that's offensive to me. You're saying Jesus' name, and I want to ask you why. He's like, I don't know. It's just a habit. And I'm like, no, because there's power in his name. That's why. You don't even know it. You're just throwing it out there. That is definitely part of saying his name in vain. What else? What are some other ways we say his name in vain? Use his name in vain. Oh, my goodness. I'm a Christian. So do this. Do that. Christians, get this, get that. Christ's name, Christ won. Absolutely, Josh. Thank you. That we use his name for our agenda. What else? What are some other ways that we use God's name in vain? Take it in vain. Saying, I swear to God. Bill, why do we say, I swear to God? Right? If I put God's name on it, then you're really going to believe me. We swear on the Holy Bible. We swear by the name of God. And many of us do that and don't even mean it. Wow. What else? Gosh, you're getting a little preachy over there. Jody, thank you. Jody says, by not repping him well, we say his name. We proclaim that we're Christ ones, and then we don't live like him. You guys, here's just a few things that came to my mind. OMG, right? So many people say, oh my God, and they're not talking to God. There's this guy, Michael Irvin, who, former football player, great football player, has been through a whole lot of things in his life, came back to Christ. He's being interviewed about another player potentially ending up on somebody else's team. And he says three times, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. That would change everything. Why? Well, it meant something to him, right? It got a reaction from him. But he wasn't praying. He wasn't saying, oh God, oh my God, you're going to do something amazing here with this young man. And so the guy interviewing him said, hey, when I first heard that this potential thing could happen, I thought the same things that Michael thought, except for all the OMGs. He was saying, I'm not going to just throw God's name out there for a football player. It's like, no. How about this one? This is going to get to meddling a little bit. How about when we're just kind of going through the motions or daydreaming while we're singing about the Lord? We're talking about the Lord God Most High. How about people that just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some totally mean it, and some are just throwing his name out there. I don't know where your heart's at, but I'm going to ask you, have you ever sang a song about the Lord? Have you ever prayed to him and your mind's been far from him? I know I have. I've been in this room singing, thinking, what's next? I get distracted. And I believe that's a way that we use his name in vain. Kind of leads to this vending machine prayers. We just come to God because you are the daddy in the sky who can give me whatever I ask for. And some of you come before him and you're just asking him for stuff because you're desperate and you know that he's awesome. Some of you, some of us, come to him and say, I want this, and I want this, and this, and also a pony, right? I mean, we just kind of put it out there, right? Six-year-old prayer, 50-year-old prayer, but yes. And then what was said before, unfulfilled vows. We swear to God. We make a covenant in the name of Jesus, marriage in particular, and then we don't. And please understand, because I know that in this room and online, we have people that have done everything they could to keep their marriage vows, and somebody else didn't. And that's hard. And I'm not shaming anybody, even the people that have gone away from that. What I'm saying instead is, when we do something in Jesus' name, don't do it in vain. Don't do it until you get what you want, and then you can move on. And again, I don't believe that many of the people that have been divorced, many of the people that have made a vow to follow through and give money towards something, whatever, didn't break that lightly, didn't do it on their own. It was done for them. I get that. But please let this land where it needs to land. So did Jesus have anything to say about this whole name thing? Keeping it, saying it, doing it in vain. I'm only going to give you a couple of things, because yeah, he totally did. In Matthew 5, 33 through 37, we see Jesus in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount about Beatitudes and all kinds of stuff. He talks about anger and lust. He talks about marriage and divorce. And he talks about making oaths, not oats like oatmeal, oaths. How do you say that word? Is it a soft th or is it thes? Okay. Oaths. Thank you. It's a tough one because they both kind of sound alike. All right. So here he is. Again, you've heard it said that those of old shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. This is a good rule. Don't make false promises. Don't make false oaths. Don't swear and then not do it. But Jesus kicks it up a notch. But I say to you, don't take an oath at all. Oh, yeah, then that way you can just do your thing. Nope. He's like, don't swear by anything, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Some of you are like, actually, today, we can actually make our hair a particular color. He's saying, you didn't actually come up with hair color. I did. So let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. I swear to God, don't throw his name out there. Just be the person you say you are. Do the thing you say you're going to do. Don't do the thing you say you're not going to do. And if you screw that up, repent in the name of Jesus. That's when his name comes in. Like, I can't do this on my own. Please forgive me. And he does. Now we got some kids, or at least one kid in this particular room who's getting baptized later on today. And Jesus had something to say about his name with regards to baptism. Let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus is risen from the dead. He got up on this hill with these guys, all of his disciples. And it says there that some worshiped him. And some were like, is this real? Which leads me to a real free lesson for you. Many of us say, well, if God just showed up like he did in the New Testament or Old Testament, then I'd totally believe him. Would you? Because he did show up to his people. He rose from the dead. And some still doubt it. They're like, he looks like Jesus, but wait a minute. That's just wild to me. So Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I am the head boss. I'm the jefe. I am God. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey or observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, to the end of the age. Oh, I just love that one. I'm not even going to preach on that, but just know that he hangs on to you. He's got you, always. He's the great I am. He's with you. But this baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, our English language is good, but it's a little clunky. The Greek language is far more specific and detailed, and it's got these nuances, and the Hebrew even more because of thoughts and intent and all of that. Well, this getting baptized in the name of is being baptized into the name of. You get to be included in the fam. In his name, that you get to be like him in this world. You get to plug into the power source for his glory and for your joy. Boy, that's such great news. So Jesus took this one seriously. He says, mean what you say. Don't need to swear by anybody's name. Just be like me. When you're baptized into the name of Jesus, you're in his body. You're in his fam. The same spirit that raised him from the dead, church, lives inside of you. Let's move on to the next command. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember, there's that word again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock. But how are we going to get milk? Or even the sojourner, the foreigner, the alien who's within your gates. Hey, anybody that's around you, that seventh day is a day that's holy. It's set apart. It's different. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Please remember, you guys, that God didn't create everything, including the galaxies, which we can and can't see, depending on what kind of big, huge camera we've got. He didn't make all of that, including people in his image. And then at the end of that sixth day, whew, I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. I just need to catch a few winks. He wasn't tired at all. He was actually setting us an example. I want to tell you something that's really cool about this. God told his people later on in Exodus, you don't keep the Sabbath. You find somebody in there that's not keeping the Sabbath, they're dead. They're to be stoned to death. Before you get all twisted, I'm not saying it's cool that God wanted people to die. I'm saying it's cool that we actually don't have that right now, but I think it's super important to know that when you and I don't rest, we're forgetting to focus on God. And that takes life from us. That drains us. It depletes us. And I get that some of us are in debt. Some of us are desperately trying to get a house. Some of us are desperately trying to pay medical bills. There is so much going on. And so when you hear somebody get up and preach, hey, you're working too much, you're like, dude, I'm not working enough. I'm trying to get multiple jobs. I'm not trying to even say all that. I'm trying to say, focus on God. Come back to what he says is good for you. Look, eventually this week, I'm going to give it a shot to replace a fan in my bathroom. It's so loud, it wakes people up. And so I am not great with my hands. I'm not this amazing handyman. So I asked my friend, Zach, who is an electrician, some questions about how to do it. Because he knows some stuff about that, right? And then I'm going to, if this gets out, I could lose my man card. I'm going to read the directions. And I'm going to watch somebody on YouTube do it. Because I don't know what I'm doing. And other people do. Let me bring you around. I'm not just telling stories about what I might do. I'm trying to tell you that we go to God for what he says is right about life, because he made us. He knows how we're supposed to work. He says, rest. Take a break. And he wants you to remember. Let's turn just a few chapters away here into Deuteronomy 5:15. You go past Numbers to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is near the end of Moses' life. He lays out the law all over again for the people and gives them commentary on it and says, look, this is why we're being called to do these things. And he's talking about remembering yet again. Deuteronomy 5:15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. By the way, how many days off do you think slaves get? Nada. They don't. If they did, it was a kindness of their master that was giving them a chance to rest. And more than likely, that master was saying, you know, a rested slave is a strong slave and it'll be more productive. The master wasn't trying to help the slave, he's trying to help himself. Our master says, look, I want to set you free from slavery. Listen, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God, Yahweh, I am, brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Friends, he spoke the world into existence, but he bore his arm for our salvation. That's a big deal. Chew on that one a little bit. Think about how he actually went extra for us. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I want you to remember. Look at God worked and he rested as an example and a gift for us. You know why he rested? As an example. You know why he rested? As a gift. To show us how to do it, right? Like, look, take a peek at all of what I just did. God kicked back on the seventh day, still God, still creating, still doing amazing things, but at the same time going, ah, this is good. And he calls us to chill and remember as well. To look at the things that he did. This is the character of God. He would set an example. He wouldn't call us just to do something, he would do it as well. He can't be enticed by evil, so all the ones that we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks, God isn't giving into. And he doesn't give into breaking any of his commands because he is perfect. He's holy, he's good. He's calling us to follow his example, and we can't do it on our own, so he paid the price for us. This is such good news. This is the character of God. Because I want to tell you about a Hebrew saying. It's Shabbat Shalom. And so many people would say this and still do to this day. And it's like, how's your peace going? It's kind of a greeting, like, what's your Sabbath like? And what really the ultimate goal of that is may you be well rested and restored on this Sabbath day. May you be holistically put back together. May your mind, body, heart, and soul come into accord with the Most High. May you slow yourself down and fix your eyes back on Him. And friends, let me say this to you, because Jesus actually never lowered the standard. He raised it and He fulfilled it. God's not calling us to have one day of Sabbath. He's calling us to have Sabbath daily. Slow down daily. Fix your eyes on Him. If you want more on that, I'm going to unpack that a little bit in the Live It Out video. It'll only be a few minutes. You can watch it on Monday, but I'm going to give you a couple of ideas here. Be grateful. Write about it. Sing about it. Talk about it. Think about it. Take some quiet time. People call it a devotional. People call it time with God. Go get your tea, water, coffee, whatever it is. And you just go chill with God. Like I said, I have a lot more about that in the Live It Out video. I would love for you to take a peek at that. It'll most likely be online. So, Mark 2, Jesus brings to us this idea of being the Lord of the Sabbath. Yahweh, the great I Am of the Sabbath. These people are questioning Him. They're difficult. They're making it difficult. His people are literally starving. They're super, super hungry. Not just, gosh, I wish I had something to eat. Like, they are looking for food so much that they grab some grain and they rub all of the chaff off of it, and they give themselves a little granola snack because they're hungry. And people freak out about it. Like, oh, they're working on the Sabbath. No, dude, they're hungry. And so Jesus says this: the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Look, I gave you this gift. I didn't give you these rules so you would be washed up and washed out. I gave them to you so you would live well. Sabbath, however, third rule, third command, fourth command, I'm all over the map. Fourth command, I'm giving this to you as a gift. Do you know all the rest of them have a don't in it? This one is just go for it. Take it. It's for you. I want you to be blessed. So he says, the Son of Man himself is Lord even of the Sabbath. In Luke 6, which I have some homework for you, if you will go to the questions, and I forgot to share them last service so you guys get the benefit of being round two. But in Luke 6, Jesus has a number of Sabbath occurrences where people are mad at him for doing things on the Sabbath and doing good for the Sabbath. But in verse 9, he talks about that it's the Sabbath is not only a gift for you, it's an honor to God. Listen to how he says it. I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or destroy it? Here's what they're tripping about. There's a man with a shriveled up hand who came into church, and they're watching to see if Jesus was going to heal him. How scandalous that he would do good. He would save life. He would restore somebody. How dare he do work? He's like, this is the kind of work that needs to be done. Do good. If you're looking for something to do on the Sabbath, do good. Do good by God and do good for others. This is what we are made for. This is a shout out to him. And so I'll say this to you again. God's Sabbath is a gift for us. Daily, take up some time just to focus in on God, and probably multiple times during the day, fix your eyes back on Jesus. My kids and I are talking about when you're learning to ride a bike and just how you're really, really focused, but then after a while, you get pretty good at riding a bike, and you kind of look over here, and you look over there, and when you look over there, that's where you go. And that's life, right? So look to the Lord. This is Sabbath. This is Shabbat. This is the Shabbat Shalom. This is a chance for you to find rest and fulfillment. Totally getting filled back up to live it back out. I encourage you, take a day out of the week. And again, I'll talk about some of the adjustments that you can make in the Live It Out video, but I'll say this one thing to you. Some of you need to probably change how you're spending your money so you don't have to work as much. Did you hear that? Some of you need to not spend your money on certain things so you don't have to work as much. This is a higher love. God wants you to receive it, and he wants you to give it. He wants you to love him and love others. Would you join me in working on this and help each other? Be encouraged. I'll let the cat out of the bag here at the end. In the New Testament, all 10 of the commandments, the 10 commandments, are mentioned. Only this one isn't repeated like you have to keep the Sabbath. You get to keep the Sabbath. You really have to not kill people. And you get to not kill people. But this one, this is an invitation now to receive from God and to slow down and be filled back up. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity for us to grow and to chew on these things and to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. I thank you for my friends and my family. I thank you, Lord, so much that you have rest for us this Sabbath, this Shabbat, and you have peace, wholeness, fullness with you for us, this Shalom. So may we receive it. May we unpack it, and may we live it out. God, I pray all this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.